session number 11213, reel 4.
Mr. J. Lamb, reel 4. Can you tell me a little, Mr. Lamb, about the general relationships between soldiers and civilians?
Well, there was no actual authorised relationship. Any relationship that did take place would happen only time of that was if you went out of bounds or anything like that. Say, there was a place called Grant Road in India, where he said, if you went down there, you were out of bounds. And if you go down, you were fuddled. It was cages, and the women used to be in these cages, young girls and all this together, enticing him. And I don't know if any of the lads did go there, but I went down once, that was just to see it. And it was more or less disgusting. So it was actually out of bounds. And you weren't allowed to go down.
And this was to entice soldiers to take Indian women?
Yes. Ah.
Kind of prostitution?
Prostitution.
How did the average soldier overcome the lack of women?
Well, as far as women were concerned, Indian women, as far as I was concerned, and the majority of the lads in India, you were told definitely that if you contacted any Indian more or less prostitutes, plenty of them in India, young girls, which are called bibbies, and all this near that, you were asking for trouble. And you were advertised to have nothing to do with it. Because you were told straight that if you got VD and reported sick with VD, you were for the high jump. You had not to contact anyone like this. There was no such thing as licensed brothels, anything in India that I knew about, which I'll tell you about. There was licensed brothels to a later place we went to, but not in India.
And was VD very high? Was there a lot of VD amongst the troops?
Well,
to your knowledge?
I did hear of various cases, like here and there, now and again, but I think the lads kept themselves very, very, very real out there. They kept themselves out of it, the majority of them. They knew what they were asking for, and as far as I was concerned, I think they're all the same mind as me.
Did you get the feeling that the Indian civilian was afraid of the British soldier?
No, they weren't actually afraid of us. He's come cudgeling and all this and the other. You know. The lads used to... The young boys used to come... You like my sister, sailor? You like my sister, soldier? You say, bay up. Jello. Jello, he says, Jella. She says, ooh. Things like that. But there was no such thing as licensed brothels in India that I knew of. No. There were at places later on, but I'll tell you about where I went later. Okay.
What was the discipline like in the battalion?
The discipline? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It was... The discipline was different altogether in India to what it was in England. Now, in England, it was all spit and polish, spit and polish. Now, when you went to India, you were a soldier, a British soldier. You had to do your duties as a British soldier in a foreign country. And you had to keep yourself right. You were there to do a job. As a matter of fact, well, if you went to outer bounds area in anywhere in India, your life wasn't worth tuppence. They'd knife you in the back. As a matter of fact, when we're up Dullali, open verandas, there's what they call loose swallows. Natives used to be naked. And they used to cover themselves in grease. And there has been times in Dullali when you were asleep in bed, open verandas, you know, they could walk straight into the bottom. Now your rifles, they used to have what they call racks, and your rifles just put in these racks, the bolts were taken out, and you looked after them. And there was a chain put through the rifle and a lock on for safety. But there was times, but I've heard it happened. It may have happened when I was, I think it did. Now these loose fellows used to sneak in the barrack room, and you were all sound asleep, you know. And you would be lying in bed, and it's warm, you'd just be lying probably naked. Well, just a bare sheet over, that's all. You didn't need any bedclothes there. And they'll just touch you on the side. Say you'd be lying on your back or on your side. Now the side, you say you were lying on your right side. There was no lad. The blanket, the sheet you were, it wasn't sheets you were sleeping on, rolled up towards you. And then it'd go to the other side of the bed, and it touch you again, and then it'd roll over on your left side. And then they pull the sheet gently out, and away it went. You woke up thinking there was no sheet there.
And was there a lot of this going on?
It used to happen. Loose, what's it called, loose wallets? Pinch anything. And if you went into the bazaars, there's bazaars in India where you could go to, buy silk pyjamas and all that for your girlfriends at home, all the likes of this, and we used to go down to these bazaars, and, hi, Sam, nice pyjamas for girlfriend, silk pyjamas, and all this and the other. Beads, amber beads and all this and the other. And we were always told that whatever that's thrown of it, and you used to bargain, the light you'd bargain. Say you went up one of these sabs selling all these things, you know, pyjamas and all this. Say, you say, 2 rupees, sir. If you said yes, he thought nothing of you. But if you said, no, 50 rupees. No, 2 rupees. Was equal to him. You say, no. 10 cents. 20 cents. 25 cents. Knock him down as much as he could, you know. You'd probably knock him down to 50 cents. Okay, sir. And they used to like him all for that. They used to love you. They used to like you to gamble, you know, to argue them for the price. And I used to buy amber beads and all things like that down these bazaars. That's the only more or less contract you had with the likes of these people.
How much pay were you receiving? How much was your pay? How much were you being paid?
Pay? 2 bob a day, that was your pay. 2 shillings a day. And you started to buy your own blanco. And 2 bob a day.
What was the officer's life like compared with your own?
Well, the officers, it was more or less one company competing against another company. You know, your A company. Now the CSM, Dougie Spencer, the CSM, various companies, Sergeant Major. Now this is A company. you've got a standard A company, keep up. They would say the same D company. Say the HQ company. A, B, C, D, and all that went down, see. Now we used to have football matches between the various companies. Like, I used to play football for A company. And then you had your battalion team, your battalion football team. Now, Durham's, the winners of the Durham Cup quite a few times, and that was the biggest cup in India. We used to play with the various regiments, Somerset Legends, Royal Artillery. The Somerset was in Station Pula. We used to play various regiments, Warwick's, right round India. We used to compete for this Durham Cup. And the 2nd Battalion was well known for football in India. Well known. Was the best football team in India. Had a good football record. But I was never a battalion standard, like, but I was always company standard.
There was plenty of sport.
That was the main thing, sport.
Was that the only games that you
yes,
played?
Yes, plenty of sport. There was more sport than anything else. And more or less training up at Dullally on certain periods, but it was all sports, you know, and you got walking out the town and that quite often, which is more than you got in England. I liked, everyone always said that it was better served abroad than it was in England. Because it was all spit and polish in England, where it wasn't so much in India.
Did you have exercises to take part in?
Oh, yes, we used to go on PTs and all that. PT parades, all that. Cross-country runs, all this. Hockey. You had your hockey team, you had your cricket team. And Johnny Curry. I have a photo of him, little Johnny Curry. He was a boxer. And he was a damn good hockey player. He used to play the Indians at hockey. We used to play the Indian football. And he used to play the bare feet. And by gosh, when you got a kick at them, you knew what going to kick off on. They used to play the bare feet.
Well, what about military exercises? Did you have to take part in those?
Well, that all took place up in Dullally. At Bombay, it was all ceremonial parades, like that, on the square.
And Dullally was a training area?
That was a training area, Dullally.
How long were you in Bombay?
And it was more or less, Dullally was more or less the hill station. So you had your hill station in there, various places, Ravsbach and all this, and you had your hill station. Well, I mean to say, in Bombay, there was no, it was all like a town, so you surrounded it. There was no training area there in Bombay. You could go a route march. Well, a route march first time, right? Then you start a march to church and back on a Sunday. But you got more town life. You got more leisure in India than they did in England.
Did you move to Dullally at any given time of the year because of the season? Was the army training going on in a certain season of the year, a certain time
of
the year?
It used to merely go on in the hotter period, you know. Say it was hot in Bombay, and, you know, the pub was humid, and it would be cool up in Dullally, see. As a matter of fact, I'd been in the Bombay approximately 9 months, and there was three of us, there's two lads. Slaggy Hall was one in my company. Turner, we were sent up to the Royal Artillery. I just saw which battery it was. It was a certain battery at the station at Kirky, just outside Pula. It was Pula. Somerset was stationed at Pula, and the Royal Artillery station at Kirky. Well, I'd been there about 9 months, and I was sent up to Kirky on a saddler's course. because we had mules then, you know. We had mules. But as far as we heard, it was a waste of time because Yama was, you know, the it was coming to be mechanized and such. Of course, in India, it was all mule. All mule. There was no such things as carriers and tanks and all that. It was all mule work out there. Up in Razbak and then places where I never was, like, because it was very hilly. And the Khyber Pass and places like that was all mule work. They used to sling the guns and the hand machine guns over the top of the mule, you know, and Lewis guns. If you had Lewis guns, it was pan on top, square old pan, 47 rounds, had a Lewis gun. And they used to use mules to carry these things, see. And of course, when they moved to Bombay, well, I was sent on the saddle, of course, for repairing the harness, you know, stitching harness, repairing saddles, and repairing officers' sandbags, and repairing suits, repairing all leather work, see. And what they call a syce, an Indian syce there, and the Royal Artillery Corporal. He was there. The artillery saddler. Well, artillery saddler. But they also used to employ natives, what they call the syce, who were good at this work. Now, this corporal, I was sent up to learn stitching, leather work, and used to have like wax, and like some kind of ropes, like thread or something, you use the thread and use this wax and thread it together and spin it into a strong thread, you know. And he taught me that, this type of wax. And he used to be stumped up. And what he used to do, he used to thread the needle, what you call an awl. He used to use an awl, like, to push the thing through. And he used to put a needle in each end of the thread. And he used to push both in like double thread. He used to push them not one way, he used to put both needles through at the same time, pull them together. And if you've got your stitch, you should stitch it like that.
Did each battalion have a set of mules with it?
No, we had no mules or anything like that. I didn't know what the pipe was. But anyway, and these other two chaps went up to learn how to shoe horses for the artillery, because they had the horses, the artillery, and they were the same. Used to parade with the horses and everything.
Did your officers have horses?
There was only the command officer who used to have a horse, I think, in Bombay. I'm not sure. Maybe the adjutant as well. I'm not sure. But the colonel and stuff had one. And maybe the adjutant.
How did the officers entertain themselves?
Well, they more or less entertained themselves amongst themselves with the officers' mess and all this and the other. Officers' mess, and of course.
Did they play football and the games that the
men
were playing?
Yes, we had an officer there, just forget his name, he was a damn good rugby player. These are gentlemen. As a matter of fact, my lieutenant went off me, Lieutenant Keith. He was a good cross-country runner. And I was. And we used to compete against other companies in 3 mile races. We should go round it now, you know, right round the football field for 3 miles or something like that. And I used to run and the stuff, he beat me. Come on, Lammy, come on, Chelsea. And you know, the lads used to be out there, oh, Chelsea, get good, come on, keep it up. And I'll be plowing on this left hand, you know, really good. I hear him coming after us. I say, you bugger, you can't beat me again, are you? Ah, I'm after Chelsea. And I was pretty decent at cross-country running. And I remember when I came back from Kirky. And then it was there about maybe a little over 2 months. Three of them. And right now, you're okay now. You're past them, you know. I got a fort everything. And we travelled up on our road, you know, by train. With the natives. Hearts and sad wooden seats. I know three of us travelled up together, but they came back before me, and I got a fort. I think I got a. I had to go in the hospital for about 2 or 3 days. There's some bugs, what you call, you get. And the boy into your back. The boy into you, he did, and I got one of these in my back. And then he poured it sick and it broke out and rash in the back like that. And when I went to the hospital, then he, you know, it was a rash in the back like a medical lady come out. He started going mad. I saw you licking him with the bloody lady. I said, oh, put me mad that on. And the, a more come, he said, what's the matter? I said, it's a bad man. He said, tell me, put a little yes into your back. He said, yeah, but it's a bad man. So I was in the hospital a week, and that's why I got an extension. Okay.
What other illnesses and what diseases? What other illnesses and diseases?
Malaria. Malaria. You have to watch out. That's one thing I know, fortunately, never got. Malaria. And of course, VD, which was, I think the lad's kept fairly clear of that out there. Kept fairly clear of it.
Was there a lot of sickness?
No, not actually. Of course, you were. Even when you went out there, you got needles. You got a lot. Yellow fever needles, collar needles. You got a lot. I think I've had every needle there is. I think I'm immune to anything, me. No. That's the only thing I've had. It's I was never ill with any, never actually ill in the army. I was never affected any. Nothing. I was always never sick, actually.
So how long were you at Bombay?
Well, it was Bombay approximately, say, just over a year. 1935, February, I landed there. And I think we were around about 3 months in 1936. We went to Khartoum.
Now, how'd that come about?
Well, our term of duty was up in Bombay then, see. Our next station had to be. See, the battalion's working its way home after a tour abroad. They'd already been to Rasbach and places like that, further right round in the other place, Barapur. That was the last place they left before they came to Bombay. They did a tour of duty, approximately over 15 years, a tour of duty abroad. And that they go right round in the up kind of far Rasbach. They were Rasbach, but this was 2nd Battalion.
So you caught them in the last year of their tour?
And I caught them on the way back. At Bombay, they were on the way back. That was their last station in India, Bombay. See? They'd been round the other areas, Bangalore. They'd come from Bangalore to Bombay. And they'd already been up in the frontier, Rasbach area, and all that, see? And they were working their way home, see? So, then Khartoum. Then we went to Khartoum, Sudan.
So now, you took boat at Bombay. You took the boat at Bombay.
Oh yes, we left Bombay
and sailed to Khartoum.
Yes, we departed from Bombay.
And what were the conditions like on that voyage?
Well, just to say normal, hammocks, not normal. I think it was in Lancashire we left Bombay for Khartoum. Yes, Lancashire, the Dorsetshire, one of the Lancashire boats. And we arrived at Bombay, at Khartoum, rather.
How long did the journey take, Mr. Lamb?
Oh, it didn't take long from Khartoum, from one being a cartoon, just matter of fact, run through the Red Sea or something like that. But the Mediterranean, Red Sea, and just about 3 or 4 days. 2 or 3 days, I think. What a long trip. It took us about over a week to go from England to Bombay. Maybe more. I just can't remember how long it took from there. But it wasn't long from Bombay to Khartoum.
And what was your
impression? We landed at, I think it was Port Sudan, I think, we landed at, I'm not sure. Port Sudan, somewhere. Anyway, I can't remember Port London.
And what was your early impressions of that area?
Now, when we landed at Khartoum, we disembarked like and went into barracks there. And that was the place where General Gordon was killed. His palace was there, Khartoum, in the Sudan. And when we got to Khartoum, I was transferred from the air company to the signals. To the signal section. Well,
did you have special training for this?
Pardon?
Were you trained then to be a signaller?
We were sent to the signals to be trained as signals. To be trained. I didn't want to go, but you had to go. So there's Lottie Collins was one. Lottie Collins. Harry Qualsell was a signal sergeant. So I was away from my old air company pals. I was transferred to signal. He's got to signal now.
What kind of training were you given?
Well, now Khartoum was very hot. The hottest place I've ever been in. When you went there, we went into barracks, normal barracks, fans of punkers, and that. It was a very hot place. And it was that hot that reveille was at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the first thing that came around to say, nothing was happening in there, man. You used to get what they call gunfire. That's tea. Used to come in. There was only a room orderly, you know. One of the rooms in the barrack room was... always be somebody left in the barrack room, what they call a room orderly. And one of the... Me. I could be picked for it, see. The room orderly there at Chelsea. Right. And that, there was always one had to be in that barrack room. Well, the rifles was chained up and all that, you know. And orderly officer used to come around checking. See if you were on duty, see you were there. You never knew when it was coming. If you were caught out, you were for it. Junk us straight away. So, now the valley was about 3 o'clock in the morning. You got to put a gun, they used to come now with a bucket of gunfire, put a hot tea, and there was some kind of tablet there. Well, I'll tell them, they used to get them at breakfast time. But anyway, you put a gunfire, right? Get dressed.